A very good morning to you to our service of morning worship today. It's great to see you here. Just a couple of notices to give out at the beginning. First of all, to say this Wednesday at 7 p.m. is the waiting room again, and you're most welcome to come and spend some time in the presence of the Lord to be still. Oh, I do beg your pardon. So that would be the 25th. Yeah. Oh, I'm getting it totally wrong. Well, there it is. After church this morning, we're having our harvest lunch together. So do stay for that, whether you signed in or not. You're most welcome to join us. And that will start at 12:30. Our theme this morning is another question that Jesus asked, and it's this one: what good is it to gain the whole world but lose our souls? So let's stand and greet one another in the words on the screen in white. Please stand. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. You are the God of my salvation. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I hope all the day long. O my God, in you I trust. Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. And our first hymn this morning celebrates the greatness of the Lord, who is to us more valuable than anything else in the world. Tell out my soul.
Thank you.
Please be seated for our time of confession together. Firm is his promise and his mercy sure. Let's hear the promise of mercy. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we use the responses in white as we come to this time of penitence. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. So may the God of love and power forgive us and free us from our sins, heal and strengthen us by his Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And let's pray together this collect for grace. Almighty and everlasting God, thank you that you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. Order us in all our doings and guide us to do always what is righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. What does it profit us to gain the whole world and lose our soul? Well, the world has many attractions vying for our attention. But the greatest thing of all, as our next song says, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why he made us, to know God. Let's stand to sing All I Once Held Dear. So let's remain standing for a moment or two and spend some time saying thank you to the Lord. There may be particular things that you're grateful to him for this morning. If you want, just speak aloud those things. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Lord Jesus Christ and changing our lives. Give your thanks to God either aloud or in the quiet of your own heart. Yes.
Thank you for the freedom we have to worship you.
Yes.
Thank you for this church and for all people in it. Thank you for the beautiful world we live in, Lord, here.
Yes.
Arise to make us unsettled or worried, but Lord, you are there handing out your peace.
Yes. Thank you, Father, for your gracious word as we spend some time now reflecting on the things that Jesus says, the questions that he asks us. Lead us into a deeper understanding of you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's sit for our reading, and Andrew's going to come and read to us.
Today's Gospel reading is taken from St. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38, and may be found on page 1012 of the Church Bibles. Jesus predicts his death. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life for me and for the gospel will save it." I beg your pardon. I'll start again. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever wants to lose his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my works in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Andrew. Now, as we prepare to reflect on that reading, let's consecrate ourselves afresh to the Lord by singing together, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Let's stand. Please be seated. And let's pray as we spend a few moments now reflecting on those words of Jesus that we heard from the Gospel of Mark. Heavenly Father, please will you take my words and speak through them? Will you take our minds and think through them? And take our hearts and fill them full of love for you in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There is a story told about two gold diggers in the 1890s who spent several years in the Klondike in northern Alaska mining and panning for gold. And after several years, they had found so much gold and some quite large nuggets as well that they realized they'd be fabulously wealthy for the rest of their lives. And so they gathered all their gold together and set off for home. And home was several hundred miles away. But the first thing they had to do was to load their gold and themselves onto a canoe and sail or paddle down the Yukon River. Now, I don't know if you know the Yukon River, but it's a very treacherous river. And the gold was so heavy that the canoe began to take on water, and they realized the only way they were going to survive, because they couldn't swim and they were about to capsize, was to throw the gold overboard, which, as you can imagine, they were very reluctant to do. And one of them said to the other, "I'd rather lose an arm and a leg than lose my share of the gold." And his companion replied, "What good will it do to keep the gold if we're dead?" And the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, what good is it, what profit is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul? Now, we know the word soul in the Bible means life, to lose your life. And this question comes in some words Jesus was saying about losing or saving your life. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and the sake of the gospel will save it. And Jesus has also been talking to his disciples about him losing his life. And then he goes on to say to them, well, you must lose your life too. For Jesus, of course, that meant the cross. For us, well, look at what he actually says to us. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Now, that saying, taking up your cross or bearing a cross, has often been misunderstood. I remember talking some years ago to the mother of a rather rebellious teenage boy, and she was telling me how he never listened to her. He was bunking off school. He was getting into trouble with the police. And then she sighed and she said to me, "He's the cross I have to bear." Now, you can understand that saying used like that, and many people will use that saying to talk about the burdens they have to bear in life. But actually, I doubt if that's what Jesus was actually talking about. Taking up a cross in those days meant one thing: you're on your way to a very painful death. You're going to die. So following Jesus must involve some kind of a death. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once famously said in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, "When Christ calls us, he bids us come and die." But what sort of a death is Jesus talking about? Of course, for some people, they do sacrifice their lives. They're persecuted for being Christians, and they do die for the sake of the gospel. But for most Christians, that's not the case. So what kind of a death does Jesus mean? Well, I believe he means death to ourselves as the ruling agent in our lives. It means, in the words of a well-known hymn, self upon the cross and Christ upon the throne. It means, not my will but thine, Lord. It means not doing things my way but your way. I may have told you before that I've taken very many funerals in my time as a vicar, funerals of Christians and non-Christians. And by far and away, the most popular song chosen by non-Christians to have at the funeral of their loved ones, can you guess what it is? Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. It's extraordinary the number of times I've been asked, can we play that song? And of course, that's the great atheist boast. I rule, not you, God. It's an act of defiance, in a way, to say, I do it my way. Now, all of that is behind this question that Jesus is asking us. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Now, in a sense, of course, this is a rhetorical question. It doesn't need an answer because we all know what the answer is. It's no good at all. But the desire of the self, when it rules, to get hold of as much of the world as we can possibly get hold of, is very, very deeply embedded in fallen human nature. And for most people, that simply means amassing as much money as they can get their hands on so that you can do what you want. So you can do it my way. If you have money, it's power, isn't it? You can do anything. But according to Jesus, that is the way to lose your soul. Last Sunday, Peter preached very powerfully on the saying of Jesus, you can't serve God and money. And he had this picture, bad decision to lay up treasures on earth, better to lay up treasures in heaven. And it reminded me of a book which I read many, many years ago, one of the best books I've ever read. An interesting title by Richard Foster, Money, Sex and Power. Sounds like the title of a cheap novel, but actually it's a very profound book indeed. And the chapter on money is very strong, because Richard Foster says, do you know Jesus had a lot to say about money? In fact, he spoke about money more frequently than any other subject except the kingdom of God. And Jesus saw money as a rival God. Let me just read to you a sentence from my copy of this book, where Richard Foster says this. Jesus used the Aramaic term mammon to refer to wealth. By doing so, he gives money a personal and spiritual character. When he declares you cannot serve God and mammon, he is personifying mammon as a rival God. We must recognize the seductive power of money. Money has power, spiritual power, to win our hearts. Mammon asks for our allegiance in a way that sucks the milk of human kindness out of our very being. And he goes on to say, people's lives are ruled by either of these two gods, Jesus Christ or money. And you can see what he means by that. And when the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross, he is calling us not only to relinquish ourselves, but to relinquish the power that dictates our life. And for many, many people, that power is money. It can dictate our lives if we let it. Think about it. We can only do what our money allows us to do, really. It determines what we eat, what we wear, where we live, where we go on holiday. There's a lot that is determined by how much or how little money we have. And for many people, money dictates whether they're happy or not. I don't know if you've ever read Charles Dickens' David Copperfield. If you have, you will have come across Mr. Micawber, who said to David, annual income £20, annual expenditure £19.6, result, happiness. Annual income £20, annual expenditure £20.6, result, misery. Money rules the lives of many, many people. And Jesus is asking us not only to deny ourselves, but to deny the power that money has in our lives. I had a friend at theological college, and we were encouraged at theological college, of course, as all Christians are. What's the first thing you do in the morning is you get your Bible out, you pray. This friend of mine confessed to me once, he said, this is a challenge for me, because the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is to look at my bank statement. And then I'll get my Bible out. And I'm coming to realize, he said to me, who is my God? Where is my security? I thought that was very insightful of him. Now, Richard Foster goes on to say in this book, there is a way to break the power that money has in our lives, the desire we have to gain the world, and that is to give it away for free. Money hates that, says Richard Foster. When there's an appeal to spend our money on anything except ourselves and our loved ones, money screams and shouts and says, leave me in your pocket. You can't give me away. Save me for a rainy day. It makes a miser out of us all, and that's the dark side of money, says Richard Foster. Well, I knew a man once who had a very, very high-powered position in an international company, and I was a chaplain at a factory in Harrow called Kodak, and he was a senior executive in Kodak. And I used to wander around just chatting to people. I was what was known as an industrial chaplain. And one day this guy, who was at the very top of this firm, Kodak, he came and searched me out, and he said to me, the company are making cutbacks, and they have offered me redundancy, and they have offered me a six-figure payment. And he said, nothing in my life has upset and disturbed me more. I love my job. But to have that amount of money, what am I going to do? It really disturbed him. Well, the story goes, and this is a true story, he took the money. And I met him 6 months later. Just in the street, I asked him how he'd got on. He said, I'm utterly miserable. I've spent the lot on holidays and luxury goods, but now I wish I'd never had it. It's ruined me, and I can't get my job back. That's the dark side of money, when it rules us. But if we gain control of our money, of our desire to profit by having the whole world, if we gain control of it by giving it away, there is a lighter side to money. We can pay for a child's education. We can pay for an operation for a child to get their sight back. There is so much wondrous good we can do when we are in charge. Giving our money away enhances our relationship with God. God loves a cheerful giver. Think about what that might mean. He loves a cheerful giver. God honours those who honour him with their giving. We sang earlier, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Well, let's get down to brass tacks. How do we consecrate our lives to God? We give him our money. We give ourselves to God when we give to him. You see, the truth is that ourself, our soul, and money are very closely linked. And if we don't break that by devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we lose our souls. So let's finish now. Let's get back to this question. What good is it to gain the whole world? Jesus himself, of course, faced that temptation when the devil took him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, and said to him, very significantly, all this will be yours if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus says to him, the scripture says, worship God alone. Some people spend their whole lives searching for happiness, for security, for meaning, for love, believing these things can be found in the world. They look for life in money, sex, power. Those are the three major things controlling the lives of so many people. And they end up in despair because it eludes them. Only when we realize that life itself can be found in Christ alone and surrender to him will we find our heart's desire. So we're going to finish by singing together, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated for our time of prayer, and June is going to lead our intercessions today.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have called each one of us to yourself, inviting us to walk and talk with you on your path. To bring all our needs to you, you want to hear us. You want us to come before you with everything. And Lord, only you can we do that with, without feeling shame or embarrassment or fear. And Lord, you hear us, you hear our prayers, and you give us what we need, not what we ask for necessarily, but what each one of us needs, just enough. And that enough is plenty. Only you know, Lord, what is right and good for each one of us, because you love us and you care for us and you give to us in abundance, overflowing. And so, Lord, help us to give back to you in our time, in our gifts, in our money, to those that you call us to serve, that you place us before and them before us. Help us to seek what you are asking us to do and who to be for those people we meet along our weekly paths. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift up to you the continuing unrest across the world, the persecution of the innocent, all the wars that are continuing, the political unrest within countries, the persecution of women and of children through no fault of their own, just because somebody wants to be greedy, for the meanness and for the hurt amongst the men as well when they are sent out to war, when they are injured and in pain. And that message reaches back to their family and brings much, much sorrow and heartache for their loved children, the men and women that fight for the world. We pray for peace across our world, particularly Russia at the moment. We pray for them to step down, to pull back. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for this week that Nadia Namanden, I hope I've said that right, was released from prison after many, many, many years being held in a prison in Iran. And Lord, we just thank you. We pray for her as she now readjusts to living normally. Lord, we pray that she will be given the chance to rehabilitate back into a normal life, back into her family. Lord, we just pray that it must be overwhelming, overwhelming for her to be out of prison once again. Lord, be with her family. We pray that they will just give her time and space and just help her relax back into family life again. She's missed so much out on her children's lives. Lord, we pray for her and for many that this is happening too. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we look to home now and we just pray for the things that are happening in this week. Lord, we pray for the bereavement group meeting in the railway inn next door on Monday. Lord, we pray that you'll be with all of those people that go and wait for those people to come in and to hear their stories and to bring comfort to them in their words. And only you, Lord, can they do this through. And we thank you for that group. We offer up our home groups, Lord, where we have a time of fellowship and rejoicing and prayer and learning about your words, what your words really mean to us, so that we can grow in the faith. And we pray and thank you for the social times that we have in Malvern, particularly the village hall and the quiz nights, and so much fun is enjoyed and competition. And we thank you for CAP, working amongst the people that have got themselves into difficulties with their money. Lord, we just pray that the CAP can work closer and closer with people and draw close to them and support them and bring them into your kingdom, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the toddler groups, for the one on Thursday morning here and for the one at St Andrew's on a Friday. Help us draw close to those parents that come in. Sometimes they're alone and sometimes they come with friends, but help us to draw close to them, Lord. And Father, we pray that you will once again help us in our giving. Help us to give of our time and our talents and our money to all those we meet. In your name. Amen. And Lord, we just pray for later on today when we share a meal together here in church. And we thank you that you're here with us. So we say together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning, Be Thou My Vision, contains these words. In one of the verses, riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou, my inheritance, now and always. Thou, and thou only, thou first in my heart, High King of Heaven, my treasure, thou art. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, please accept these our gifts as a token of our love and the giving of ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit or kneel for the blessing. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.